Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Final hour of Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Vols against the Crimson Tide tomorrow. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too much. I appreciate it, guys. How's it going?
Going pretty well. And, David, I would expect the defensive line this week to be the greatest-looking defensive line we've ever seen in Tennessee football history. Do you have the same expectations?
Steel curtain, I'm sure.
Yeah, Orange Crush.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, do you have an effort there? You know, I liked, Drew, we were talking about they had some spirited practices this week. You liked how the defensive line looked. I'm sure he did. So, you know, it is the proof's in the pudding. Alabama's going to score some points. You know, I don't know that, you know, unless Bama's hanging 70, I don't know that we're going to learn that much about Tennessee defense this week. It's Alabama. They're running at a clip right now, you know, pretty much neck and neck with 2019 LSU, which was the best offense in the history of college football. I think the bigger question for me is, you know, where's the offense? Because Bama can be scored on. This is not a great Alabama defense. It's barely a good Alabama defense. You know, Tennessee should be able to put some points on the board. But, you know, if you walk away from Saturday and it's, 62-7, you got an issue. You know, they're going to give up points. But I honestly, against this Alabama team, am more concerned with the offense because, they've looked pretty bad the last couple of weeks, but Kentucky and Georgia are also two of the best defenses in the league, and you should be able to put some points up on Saturday.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, don't give the other team touchdowns. I mean, it's amazing when you think, David, like 17-0, and you've had all these disasters, and you say, okay, we're just going to hand it off X number of times in a row. I know 9 straight just to Gray, and you just rip down the field and score. And I contend, David, that up front they can have success against Alabama and give a quarterback support to, you know, have an opportunity to make plays and play action and you know, to be able to protect because you're running the ball well. And I don't think that's happened very much in this series between these teams, with Tennessee being able to line up and say, yeah, we can create creases against an Alabama defense. Am I being too optimistic on that point?
No, I think so. I mean, that's the thing. Again, I just think they should be able to score points. If Tennessee only puts up 7 or 10 points, that's an issue. They should be able to score against the Alabama. Again, the offense, you know, or Tennessee's defense, I don't really know what they're going to be able to do against this Alabama offense. These guys are scoring crazy. I just think, yeah, you're right. There's no reason that they shouldn't be able to at least, you know, control the ball. I think, you know, one other thing too, you know, big picture, I've been talking to Steele about this week, like, you know, I spent a lot of time in the Big 12 country, obviously, and just about every coach you talk to about offensive philosophy, it's pretty much the same. Go get 7 every single time. Go get 7 every single time. And, you know, Jerry Pruitt talks a lot about, we don't want to turn the ball over. We want to have ball control. We want to do all of these things. I got to tell you, I think the best ball control is scoring 7 points every time. And I think that sometimes philosophically they get so into, we want to accomplish this, we don't want to have turnovers. And sometimes you get so focused on some of those things that you know, you work so hard at not doing something that it gets in your head and end up doing it. I wonder how much of it is that. But I do think, you know, offensive philosophy and in terms of just sort of mindset, you know, I think if you take your mindset off anything except let's go get 7 every single time, I think things can go a little sideways on you, and I wonder if there's not an element of that, you know, in the Jerry Pruitt era at Tennessee.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, obviously, David, the big talking point this week is the quarterback position, like it is every week with the Tennessee Vols. What do you think Tennessee is going to do at that position tomorrow, and what do you think they should do at quarterback as they move forward here the rest of the season?
Well, should is a tough question because we just don't see enough of practice. You know, you here, I think you have to Garantano. I think you run the risk of losing your locker room. I couldn't blame them if they went young and they said, let's see what we got with Harrison Bailey. You know, they kind of know what they have with Shrout and Maurer. Bailey hadn't really seen a lot of time, hadn't had a lot of opportunity. Simplify things, do that. What they will do, I think it's going to be Garantano with a super, super short leash. I mean, maybe the shortest leash in the country tomorrow. I think the first time that they feel a little bit shaky, you may see him, you know, get pulled, or if he makes a mistake or something big, I could see that. That's just sort of a guess. I think you kind of have to play it by ear and feel out the game a little bit. But I do think, you know, at this point, considering that obviously Shrout struggled last week, didn't look very good, and you know, they like what they've seen from Bailey in those Sunday night scrimmages and the very, very little time he's gotten. You know, I wonder, you know, especially if you get down or you know, you want to give it a shot, you know, see what he can do and give him a little bit more time than he got last week when the game was out of hand. You know, again, the best case I think they have for making a switch is what's the worst that could happen? You know, you throw pick sixes on consecutive possessions. That honestly is like a pretty convincing argument to me, because when it goes south on Garantano, it goes south in a hurry, and it's tough for him to get it back in the middle of games. We saw it a little bit in the Gator Bowl, you know, he threw a pick six and was able to rebound. But, you know, I think that's a pretty convincing argument when you think about, you know, what can happen if you throw Harrison Bailey in there. It quite literally can't get worse than it was last week.
Yeah, and Garantano, of course, went back into that game in part because Maurer was bad, you know, and he came out and it was like, okay, well, this is just the best choice, you know. And that's still, I know it's hard for Tennessee fans to keep hearing that. At some point, like you said, like, okay, if it's going to be this bad, then make a switch. I did call a shot, David, on the show earlier that Harrison Bailey will take the last offensive snap tomorrow. Now, of course, that could mean a lot of things, and you know, but I do wonder, do you look at this like, okay, it's Alabama, and I mean, the true freshman, you got to have some time devoted to him, get him ready. Do you think it's possible, like for the Arkansas game, maybe it starts shifting more that way? I know I'm asking you a question that's going to be based in part on what we see on the field tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like I said, I think it depends there. It's possible. I mean, I think there's no question that Harrison Bailey is getting more of an opportunity now than he was 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago even. But I think that, you know, I get the clamoring for Harrison Bailey. You know, I think you look at what the other two guys have done. I mean, you just look at their numbers, you know, sub 50% completion percentage, you know, more picks than touchdowns. JT Shroud, especially coming off of two possessions with pick sixes, obviously you want to take care of the ball. And the first throw he makes, he forces into – I don't even know what he saw on that. Looking back on it, you know, we did our film review at the Athletic this week. I have no idea what he saw. I mean, that throw – I mean, it was inaccurate. It was a bad idea. Like, that's like the worst thing you can do in that situation. In any situation, it's bad. But in a situation where you're coming off with two pick sixes and you just need to steady the ship a little bit, I can't imagine making that decision in that throw. And that I'm sure cost him a lot of confidence. And then Maurer, you know, he can make some plays, but he can make some plays for the other team too. And he's had some injuries. He's been battling. So, you know, it's definitely possible. You could see Bailey, but it's, again, you kind of have to play it by ear. I think, you know, the staff, it's been the same thing for 2 years. The staff would just like Garantano to not make those mistakes, be the best version of himself, and they'll have a quarterback competition, you know, at the end of the season, you know, provided Garantano doesn't come back for 2021. That's sort of what they would like to see, I'm sure. But when he's making mistakes like that, you force the staff's hand. And I think you can't blame Garantano for trying his best at making mistakes, but I think you can blame the staff for when he throws two pick sixes in a row, that you don't have a better answer. You have nowhere to go, and you have to go back to him. In year three, there's no excuse for that, I don't think.
David Oven from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, what do you make of the job that Jim Chaney has done so far this year offensively? For me, it's somewhat difficult to evaluate when you talk about the turnovers or the quarterback discussion that we just had, but what do you make of the job that Jim Chaney has done, and maybe some friction there between Pruitt and Chaney after the game the other day?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Pruitt's a lot more – he's a lot less shy about calling out his coaches than he is his players. Probably because he's paying the coaches. But I think, like, you know, ultimately, like, there's probably something to the idea that, you know, when Tennessee is playing people that, you know, have better players than them, you know, namely Georgia, obviously not the case with Kentucky last week, but you might need to get a little more creative. We haven't seen a lot of that from Chaney. We haven't seen, you know, we saw a flea flicker last week, but that didn't work. Kentucky was ready for that. I don't mean, like, trick play. I just mean a little bit of misdirection, a little bit more motion, a little things to test the defense, make a be a little more creative, I think. You know, their power set is one thing, but that's just sort of we're going to mash you. And when you can't mash teams, which they couldn't against Kentucky, they couldn't really against Georgia, so creative. And I think we've seen a little bit of a lack of creativity. You know, it's pretty much been jet sweeps to Bayless Jones Jr. That's really the only thing we've seen that is a little bit creative, and that's, you know, not exactly tenet, I suppose.
Okay, let's pad each other's backs here for a minute, David. Now, of course, I don't really get any credit for doing the Vol Twitter today. Really, I just laughed, like, I just cackled wildly while doing all these interviews. It was the most fun I've ever had doing anything. And, like, reading it again, I'm cackling. But you had a story yesterday that's really incredible. And this is, I mean, this is classic. Like, well, it's, I mean, it's athletic stuff, but it's classic Ubbin here, too. You got this picture from 95 Vols, Alabama, this famous picture, and you've told the entire story. So lay that out for us real fast here.
Yeah, so I've been working on this for like a year and a half. I didn't really get anywhere trying to find the guys in that photo after the 95 Alabama game when some fans – it wasn't really a field storming. It was more basically a gate popped open and some fans, you know, got a little bit too into their liquid courage, I think. And so there was a bunch of fans on the field, but it wasn't really a full field storm. And so most of the fans got arrested, and it was a lot of, we'll say maybe police overreach. But, you know, that picture, you know, I saw it obviously pretty early on when coming to the beat, and I thought, you know, some pictures are worth more than 1,000 words.
That's right.
Certainly one of them. And, you know, the story of that night and obviously a huge moment in the Tennessee-Alabama rivalry, they found themselves in a pretty similar spot 25 years ago as they do right now, kind of mired in a pretty ugly streak, dominated by Bama, and that game helped flip things for them. And it was a pretty memorable night, you know, for Tennessee fans. That was the same game as the you know, the Joey Kent touchdown on the first play and the naked bootleg for Peyton. So it was a great game, but the story afterward was almost as compelling, if not more compelling, than the game itself.
It's awesome.
It is. Check it out on The Athletic. David Ubbin from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you. Have fun at the game tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, bub.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll dive into a kind of a self-report. Where is the Tennessee football program right now? How far away are they from being an elite program once again in the SEC? We'll dive into that next. But first, Joe, I got to talk to you about FanDuel because – it's got the Robbie Stanley stamp of approval. I've worked really hard to get it done. I've worked really hard to try to give it a chance to do it, and it has done it for sure. Sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook, it's giving you an exclusive offer to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook's giving users free $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right, $50 in free site credit to register and verify early, no deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive, easy-to-use app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike the other guys, once you win, FanDuel will get you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, what you need to do, go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app for yourself and check it out. Just be sure when you sign up and register, use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive that $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789.
You can't explain it. And I felt like the publicity and the promotion and the hype surrounding that program with the winning streak was overdone, because in that winning streak, Tennessee had not beaten anyone that was a high quality team. And, you know, they struggled against South Carolina. You saw the second half against Georgia, and then, you know, Kentucky took them apart. And what concerns me the most is just the stewardship of Jeremy Pruitt, you know, firing a coach after the game, during the game. I don't know when, you know, when he did, but the defensive line didn't seem to be the biggest issue during that game. It seemed like it was the offensive line and the quarterback play. Mm-hmm. And I always hate to use the cliche. Well, obviously the coaches know more than we do, and that's why Garantano is still in there. I've seen many times when the coaches don't know more based on their decision making. And yeah, you know, if he's the best Tennessee has, then it's going to be a sad season, because he's clearly not very good. And, you know, putting another guy in and making a mistake and immediately yanking him out, it's not really the answer. I think this is a game that you don't expect Tennessee to win. It would almost be considered a victory if they covered the spread. And as a Tennessee graduate, and as someone who spent most of my life in Alabama, that's a pretty embarrassing statement to make.
That was Paul Finebaum on with Darren, Donick, and Chase yesterday, talking about the state of the program for the Tennessee Vols. Some pretty strong words there from Finebaum, Joe. And, I mean, it kind of is. You look at the spread right now, the Alabama-Tennessee game, we're going to talk about it a little bit more in Pickskin Pick'em coming up. Alabama favored by 21.5. And I think if you ask a lot of Tennessee fans right now, if they were to lose this game by like 20 or less, some Tennessee fans may sign up for that at the moment. Now, I am old enough to remember when Tennessee used to beat Alabama a lot. It happened all the time in my childhood. It hasn't happened since 2006 when Nick Saban took over in 07. It's been a very long time since they've beaten Alabama. But again, like we were talking about earlier in the show, I don't think this year was ever about beating Alabama. You needed Tennessee to show progress by beating the teams that you felt like they were supposed to beat from a talent perspective, and then hang in there a little bit with Georgia and Alabama, and don't get crushed like they have a few times in the past. Now, to their credit, they hung in there pretty well with Alabama last year. Different circumstance. Tua got hurt. Mac Jones was not the Mac Jones that he is right now. I get all that. But I think the vibe from a lot of Vols fans heading into this game is they're going to get absolutely annihilated by Alabama, and I didn't think we would be there coming into this game, five games into the season.
By the way, I'd like to, in this final hour of Munson on this show, nice bump there with the Finebaum.
That was good.
Very nice. Yeah, and you know, it's I agree, and even, imagine halftime. So three halves of football ago, I was not sitting there saying they're going to beat Alabama. No, I was not. I've hated the Vols defensive matchup all along, but I thought differently about it than I do now. Three halves of football ago. So I will say I'll keep sticking with, and I understand you're right. A lot of people are probably like, you know what? Get us out without just a complete humiliation, which is pretty sad. I'm sticking with, like, there's one area of this program that has gotten to a point where you can compete with the big boys, but you got to do it. And, you have, as coaches, you have to put players in position to do that. I think Ubbin hit it, man. Big day for Jim Chaney to take what is a strength against a team that is not strong across the board defensively and exploit them. Put yes. players in position to be successful.
Yes, and look, I don't know how really to evaluate this program right now, because on the one hand, I agree. Like, they have made a lot of progress. I think the talent level right now is good. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's elite, but I think it's good. The quarterback position is just killing them. And look, that's part of your talent. That's part of your job as a coaching staff, is to bring in quarterbacks that help you win games. And they just don't have it right now. Now, maybe Harrison Bailey's that guy. We'll continue to figure that out as they go through the rest of this season and certainly into the next few years. We'll find out if Harrison Bailey's the real deal. And if he is, I think that masks a lot of other deficiencies that you can have. But I think, look, speaking as a Tennessee fan and seeing what it was like when they were good and when they were a top program in the country, there's always an expectation to get back to that point. And that expectation has been there really since, you know, the late to mid, or mid to late 2000s, when they started to deviate from that. And the question I have is, how much longer is it going to take? I mean, I know that it's been different, and it's been, you know, with Dooley, he was a different problem than Butch Jones was. And Butch Jones recruited a lot better than Dooley did. He couldn't coach on the field. He couldn't develop talent. And I think Jeremy Pruitt recruits well. I think he's a better coach than Butch Jones. But is he like a really hard dude to work for? What kind of an environment is around him in this program? I mean, there's a ton of questions, a ton of different questions that have taken place with this program and with their coaches. But how much longer do you need to wait in order to get yourself back into an elite status when everybody agrees from a facility standpoint, from a program history standpoint, from just that, you know, the pizzazz of being Tennessee football, you should be a top 10 to top 12 program in the country. And they just haven't sniffed that in more than a decade.
Yeah. And the thing is, the answer is, how long will it take? If you don't make a good hire and you keep changing every 4 or 5 years or whatever it is, it'll take forever. You'll never get there, you know. But it's also, then you balance that with, okay, well, if you know you made a bad hire, you got to fix it. So they did with Dooley. They eventually had to with Butch. I mean, at this point in Butch's tenure, so 2015, there was a ton of momentum and optimism about him.
Yep.
2016, SEC East favorite. Go win that game. That was my first fall here covering the Vols. If you go win that game at Georgia, unbelievable. And, you know, even after that loss to Texas A&M, you're like, okay, but still, this team should win the East. And then Alabama, like, just dumps cold water on everything. And eventually they come here by the end, and it's just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, that was...
it was awful.
I mean, that's still the Sugar Bowl. The South Carolina loss cost them the division, but the Sugar Bowl was right there for them. And they just get tanked by Vanderbilt. But, yeah, I don't know. We just don't know if Pruitt's going to get there. You know, is he elite? I think he's definitely better than those two guys. I
would agree.
Confident in saying that. And it's year three. It's year three, and so you can't expect him to have everything all like he wants it. But, like, the quarterback thing is – that's the quarterback thing and the staff thing. Those are the two things I look at, and I'm like, you got to have continuity on your staff. If someone's not doing the job, okay, fire them. But it's weird to me that this happens right now.
Well, and it's not like this is the first time that just moves have been made.
12
moves.
Right.
That's a lot in 3 years.
It's a ton.
And it's not like these other guys are going off taking head coaching jobs somewhere else. I mean, it's just constant turnover.
Like Helton did, but yeah, right.
Right, you've had one guy.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's that troubling. And then you know, the QB thing. Look, I mean, Jim Chaney, we're talking about Pruitt right now. But honestly, if we're going to have a serious conversation about evaluating coaches – and we're talking about Pruitt, who changes coaches a lot. I mean, Jim Chaney here has got to justify that investment. He's had a heck of a career, and I didn't buy for a second, like Georgia fans when he left. You know, Greg, good riddance. I mean, seriously, most fan bases hate their OC after like 2 years, you know, and they thought they were too vanilla and all that stuff. And I'm sure, like, if Jim Chaney had Justin Fields as of like last year, he probably would have looked like a dynamic OC, right? But There were complaints when he was there, and right now it just has not been a good year for him. There's no way around that.
No.
It's and tomorrow is a big day for him because, look, whatever happens with that Tennessee defense tomorrow, I won't be surprised. But I'll be very disappointed if that Tennessee offense comes out and, like Ubbin said, 7-10 points. And that should not happen. You should do better than that.
You should do better than that just running the ball, regardless of who the quarterback is. Because I think, to your point, the offensive line is good enough to compete with Alabama on that standpoint. You just got to go out there. You got to get a little bit more creative. I agree 100% with what David said. There's been zero creativity in this offense. And maybe that's to do with the quarterback. I don't know. But you surely, as an offensive coordinator, can come up with something to infuse some life into that offense that at times they just look like they're just going through the motions out there. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, and again, like 2 weeks ago, my criticism of Chaney was that I really believe it. Like, they could have – I don't know how much success they would have had, but I think you have a chance to keep the game in your control if you realize, again, what are you best at? You're best at running the football. They're great at stopping it, but third and one, let's try something goofy, and then you get the terrible turnover, and the game blows up on you. So it's a different things every week, but it's two straight weeks where we're looking at that offensive staff and saying, what have you guys been doing?
Yeah. When we come back, it's that time of the week. Pigskin Pick'em on deck coming up next on Robbie and Rex Road. But first, make sure you're tuning in for week 7 of your favorite game, silly underdog picks. It's now open. Make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin tomorrow. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Burger Republic gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week for Pigskin Pick'em, as it is every Friday at 9:30. Joe, give us a very quick update on the standings, and then we'll get right into it.
All right, so in the overall record, I have fallen to 10-10. I'm 1-3 on my locks. Terrible. I have 11 points. Robbie, 8-12, but tied with 11 points because you're 3-1 on your locks. So we're tied with 11 points. Munson, big week last week.
Big week.
You got to stay in this with us, Munson. You cannot. You try to get out, we'll pull you back in. 8-12 for Munson. 10 points. He's 2-2 on his locks. So you guys are better on your locks. It's very close, and again, it's hard. Against the spread, you above 50%, you're doing pretty well. So
like,
there we go.
Like TLC says, creep.
That's right.
Just creeping on the down.
Just creeping it in there, baby. Nice. So creeping with all that being said, let's get right into it. Let's start with Alabama against Tennessee. Alabama, a 21.5-point favorite over the Vols. Joe, we'll start with you. You're in first. Who you got in that one?
That's why Vegas is good. It's a tough line. And I've been burned going with the Vols, but I see this being right around 20, 21. That half point entices me. Okay. I'm going to take the Vols and take 21.5 points.
Okay, Munson, who you got?
Let me get the Vols. They lose this game by 17 points, which means I am going Vols plus the 21.5. I think they're going to keep it close. And then Alabama's just going to mollywop.
Close-ish.
Close-ish. Yeah. 17 points is close for Vols Alabama standards, right?
These days.
It's close. Yeah, that's a really sad place to be. But I'm going the other way. I got to tell you, I just don't know how in the world Tennessee is going to stop Smith. I don't know how they're going to stop Waddle. Don't really know how they're going to stop Najee Harris either. So that's a very bad combo if you're Tennessee. Give me Alabama and give it to me as my lock. I am here for Alabama over Tennessee. 21.5.
A little volume.
My lock
bump
of the week.
There. All right.
I like the suspense.
That's right. Move on to Michigan and Minnesota. Vanderbilt not playing this week. Typically, we would pick their game, but they got a bye week, so we can't do that. So the game of the week, the Big Ten, back in action. Michigan -3 against Minnesota. Munson, we'll start with you. Who you got in that one?
Let me get Michigan. It's about time Jim Harbaugh gets a big win in conference, and he does usually when it's not Ohio State. So until Ohio State, you know, beats up on them, then I'll go at Michigan and take those points.
I like it.
I love it.
I, too, am going to go Michigan, although I don't feel great about it. I don't trust Jim Harbaugh any farther than I can throw him, but with this season being as unpredictable as it is, I just think I like the Michigan and their talent a little bit more than Minnesota. Give me Michigan -3.
Make it a trifecta. This is tough on us to pick the Big Ten, you know, without seeing any of these teams.
Haven't seen anything.
Right. And honestly, if this was a normal year at Minnesota with a crowd in that stadium, I might think differently. But Joe Milton, there's a lot of buzz around him at quarterback for Michigan. Ultimately, I'm just going with the more talented team. So I will give the 3 just like you guys and take Michigan.
All right, switching gears now, looking to the NFL, the game of the week in the NFL, the Titans hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers began this week as the favorite. The line has shifted. The Titans, a 1-point favorite at home against Pittsburgh. Basically, a pick 'em in this game. And look, I've been burned at times before going against the Titans. I have displayed a lack of faith at times in the Titans. That ain't going to happen this week. Give me the Titans at home -1 against Pittsburgh. I think that offense does just enough to get the job done against the Steelers this week, and the defense has their best week of the season. Give me the Titans in that game. Joe?
All right, well, I've got another member of the Titans press corps, who shall remain nameless, who has been texting me and said, you know what, it's time for you to be the Titans hater.
Oh, boy.
So I will take the mantle of Titans hater. I actually wrote today at The Athletic about the matchup, too, with Mark Caboli of our Pittsburgh Steelers coverage, who works with Ed Bichette, and I went 31-27. Steelers. And so that's my pick. And I think that ultimately both offenses will have success. Obviously, that's a pretty high scoring, but not the kind of success the Titans have been having. I think you got a few drives that get blown up because Tannehill gets put to the ground. It's just going to be harder to protect him. And I think ultimately the Steelers are going to outlast the Titans in this game, do a pretty good job on Derrick Henry, get some big plays downfield, and, you know, until the Titans show me they can rush the passer, I'm not counting on them to rush the passer.
Munson, who you got, Titans or Steelers? Titans a minus one favorite in the game.
Yeah, let me go ahead and be a hater too. I'm going to go Steelers, man, and I actually think the Steelers will win this game.
Okay.
Titans will get their first loss of the season. And take that with a grain of salt, because sometimes, a lot of times, I'm wrong. I'm the same guy that started Keyshawn Vaughn in a fantasy game. So take my word for it, grain of salt, but I will take the Steelers in this game. They went close. Now, I was not going to just beat up on the Titans. Probably be a field goal game, but I will go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Embrace being a Titans hater with me, Munson.
Let's embrace it. Let's
go out together.
Now, the three of you gone in line with each other so far, in lockstep with each other so far. Here is where we could deviate. We select college football games on our own now. So, Joe, would you like to start? Who is your college football pick of the week?
I will, and I'm, like I said, staying the heck away from the Big Ten. I'm actually staying away from the SEC this week. I'm looking at Kansas State.
Ooh.
And I'm
rivalry game.
I'm seeing it's a rivalry game, and honestly, that's the only way I can understand this line. Kansas State is minus 19.5 against Kansas, which is just an abhorrent football team. I'm all day on Kansas State giving 19.5. Give me that as a lock. They are going to put a number on the Jayhawks.
I like it. Kansas is terrible. I've looked at that game. It's not the pick I'm going with, but I've looked at it. Munson, who you got?
I'm actually also going outside of the Big Ten.
Okay.
Going outside of the SEC, which I usually pick SEC games, and I am going to go. And Ryan Porth, I hope you're listening. The Cincinnati Bearcats, +2.5 against SMU. They're the underdogs in this game, but I think that they're going to pull it off. And Ryan Porth, I hope you're listening. Hopefully Cincinnati gets it. And if he does take over my points after I leave here, I want it to be on a team that he likes.
That's two undefeated teams, SMU
and
Cincinnati.
That's a big game.
That's a big game.
And also, I'm going to go ahead and make that my lock of the week.
Oh.
See, you may
Cincinnati, do not let me down on this.
You may be a Titans hater, but you're a lover of Mike Vrabel's best friend, Luke Fickell, head coach of the Cincinnati Bears.
There we go.
If you paid any attention to Cincinnati sports, they guaranteed will let you down. So this may not be a good week, but now that I've given it the Robbie Stanley curse, maybe it will. I'm going to stay in the Big 12 this week. Look, every time Oklahoma State has a big game, they screw it up. That's what they do under Mike Gundy. I think the Big 12 officially dies this week in terms of college football playoff contention. Iowa State +3.5 against Oklahoma State. Give me the Cyclones, baby. Iowa State gets the job done. Oklahoma State goes down.
Matt Campbell.
Feel really good about it.
Matt Campbell. Heck of a coach.
Switching gears to the NFL, we all have our chance to pick an NFL game of the week as well. Munson, who do you have as your NFL game of the week?
Well, I just satisfied Ryan Porth by picking the Cincinnati Bearcats as my lock. I'm also going to satisfy somebody else on this program because I'm going with the Packers -3.5 against the Texans. Like, oh, look, Sean Watson, I love you, my friend, but I think Aaron Rodgers is out for blood, and he's going to be out for blood courtesy of your defense. And so I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers, 8,000 touchdowns in that game, and he's going to get that 3.5, and that's the easiest 3.5 I can possibly think of.
That was on my board, but I learned last week, I violated a rule last week to pick with the Packers. I can't do it anymore. It stresses me out.
Yep.
It's bad luck.
Sometimes you can't pick with your heart.
They got killed by Tampa Bay last week. I just can't do that to myself again. So having said that, Russell Wilson with a week off, coming back into the fold this week, they are 3.5-point favorites against the Arizona Cardinals. I think that offense is too much for Arizona's defense. Give me Seattle -3.5. Against Arizona. I think Russell Wilson has a big game, and the Seattle Seahawks get the job done.
That could be a fun one to watch, too. For sure. All right, well, I mean, it's almost like cheating to do this, like to bet on a Jets game, but I'll go ahead and go with that Bills Jets game.
It's a pretty big line.
I mean, it's one of my Survivor League picks too, by the way.
It's a big line. I mean, it's in the NFL. Usually I stay away from these big lines in the NFL because I feel like the NFL, it's going to be closer than you think. And the Bills are giving 12.5. And yet, I feel real good about this one. Give me the Bills. Take your 12.5 points and your atrocious Jets team and watch them lose by 25.
I feel like the Jets are going to burn someone.
Well, yeah, they will. Like, they will.
It's not going to be this week.
And probably me, because I've just been on a downward trend.
See,
but I mean, the Bills have got to be mad too, right? The Bills have had a couple humblings here. I feel like they're going to respond.
Yeah, I get that. It's one of my Survivor League picks, which also one of them was last night, Eagles and Giants. Which,
woo! Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, boy.
And it had fantasy implications as well. That was a nerve-wracking game for me, but there we go. Pigskin pick 'em.
Good job of picks. Good job of some separation there towards the end from you two. And this could be a big week in terms of the overall standings as we wrap up here.
I need Munson to do well. I want Munson to keep doing this with us.
If I go over in six, Akil,
you're out of here.
You'll never hear from me again.
Change your number.
Yeah.
Change your Twitter account.
Very good job on the pigskin pick 'em.
Big Crimson Mac on Twitter. If I lose this,
I love it. Very good job, fellas. I like really everybody's picks there, especially when we went away from each other. I feel good about what we've done there, both in college football and the NFL. When we come back, we'll give our final thoughts, looking ahead to the weekend of football here locally. Also wrap up our time with Marquise Munson as well. That's coming up on the other side. First off, make sure Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ and Harry's draft beers, plus Happ and Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown location this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is a bittersweet segment for us here on Robbie and Rex Road. The final segment for Marquise Munson here with us on the program. Munson moving off to a different field, a music field that he's been very passionate about. And I just want to tell you that we have really enjoyed getting to know you, really loved having you guide us through this process here on the show. You've become a great friend, a great sounding board of different ideas, and we know you're going to do great in your next stop. So really appreciate everything that you've done for us and for this station and for this program in particular, Marquise.
I appreciate that, guys. That's why I had to play Toto to close it out.
Very nice.
I was on vacation when you guys restarted and you guys came back on the air. I was on vacation, and so that Monday I wasn't here. So that Tuesday I came back. Don't know how it came about, but we had a big argument about Toto.
We did.
That first show.
We don't have enough arguments about Toto.
Yeah, we don't. We don't have enough Toto
in society, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think we were arguing about Toto songs at that point. And that was my first show back with you guys, and it's been a journey. I've been, wanting this to be the morning show for months because, I know the talent that both of you guys bring to the table. And I know this is about me leaving, but it's more me just happy to see that you two are behind that glass. Because I didn't get a chance to, say it when we actually got it announced, but to see you guys, to see Robbie and Rex Road as the morning show, to me, that's a bigger accomplishment than anything for me. So, I thank you guys for letting me be a part of it. And for this station, Bud Walters for bringing me here, Ryan Porth, obviously Chase McCabe and, all the producers, man, Elijah, Max, Ian, there's been a lot of guys that were Calvin, can't forget about Calvin, me and him going to Titans all the time. And it's been fun, man. It's been a fun ride, and I know a lot of people are texting me is hey man, so you want to do this sports venture or this sports venture? I am done with sports. I am going to be an Alabama Gump under my new name, Big Crimson.
Big Crimson Mac.
Big Crimson Mac.
Is this another lock that you're throwing out here?
Well, yeah.
You've had a lot of locks today. Or, no, I'm sorry. I called your shot. Did you just call another shot?
Yeah.
You're done with sports.
I am done covering sports. Like, I've done it for 5+ years. I've got to cover the draft, which was awesome. Got to cover SEC basketball tournament. I'm a huge basketball guy. Got to cover hockey. Got to cover the Preds and got to work with those people in that building. Shout out to Nick, Emily, and all those people that work with the Preds. All the people that work for the Titans, Robbie, Dwight, Kim. All those people who make a producer's life easy. Because everybody knows, like, man, a public relations person can really make a difficult job. So, you know, just kudos to the Preds and Titans and Nashville SC as well for, you know, for making my job easier. And, you know, last but not least, thank you guys, man. And you know, this is not the end because I'll still see you guys around.
Sure.
You know, I'll still, you know, listen, tune in because I feel like this show has the potential to be one of the best shows in Nashville. And that's not me saying that because I'm on it. That's me saying it because it's facts. And you guys do a great job. You guys work your tails off. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what you guys. I every time I look over that glass and I see you two over it, like, it makes me proud that you guys are the ones leading this ship. So I appreciate you guys and roll tide to that.
Thanks, man. That's really awesome words. And you've not just been a part of it or helped us. I mean, really, to me, like, you've led us here.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're very grateful to you. And frankly, I mean, you know, if you get some texts here and there asking this or that or whatever, you know, don't be surprised. And yeah, we still have a full court game of 1-on-1 to still finish. I think you're up 4-1 on me, but I was just about to get going on that.
Yeah, you were. I was getting gassed. No, I was getting gassed.
Okay.
I had to take a couple breaks. Like, my heart rate was going up. I was like, hold on, let's pump the brakes here. I ain't been in full court in a while.
I don't know if I get up and down the court twice anymore. I don't know if I could do it.
Well, there's another thing that we'll have to do in the future. Because we're not done bothering you, man. But you're going to be awesome in your new venture, and really excited for you. It sounds awesome. And I know that you're right. I don't know if I know anyone with a wider range of musical taste than you have. So
certainly not me.
It's going to be great.
You have taught me a lot.
I appreciate that. I'll definitely play Toto in my first show, as a remembrance of you guys, man. But yeah, this has been fun, man. And so, you know, now let's talk some Titans.
Let's do that.
Because like I told you guys, like, I don't never want to derail the show because, like, you know, it's about the people tune in and listen to the sports, even though, like, you know, I'm a part of the show. But, you know, let's talk some Titans and Steelers.
Yeah, you're a Titans hater. Let's go out on that. Munson, the Titans haters, got the Steelers winning.
Well,
Rex Road,
too. 34-31 Titans.
Have you not learned your lesson yet of picking against this Titans team?
Yeah.
They just got something special about them, Joe.
Well, now I did get it right picking the Vikings with the points.
You did.
Which feels like months ago.
But you're now outright picking the Steelers to win this game?
I am. This is the first time that I'm picking the Titans to actually lose the game. I thought that last week would be close. See, last week's one of those, you get that overtime TD. I mean, really, that's how close it was. But, yeah, I do. I think the Steelers, I just think it's going to be difficult overall for the Titans without Lawan, and I think that this week in particular, it's just a bad timing situation to have this team be the team that you're trying to figure that out against.
Yeah.
And if they do and win this game and just roll on offense, then tip of the cap. You know, it's a big-time game. I'm really excited for this game.
And then, obviously, Alabama and Tennessee tomorrow as well. What does Tennessee have to do to even give themselves remotely a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter?
11-minute touchdown drives.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like the beginning of the series against Kentucky, which just blew me away, run, 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 fourth and one, punt. Tomorrow, run, 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 fourth and one, go with your pancake pantry. And then go run, run, run.
That formation?
That's. I think that's the official. That's me stealing from David Ubbin. But I think that's at least what he calls them. But yeah, you got to run the ball, you got to hold the ball, and you got to score touchdowns, and you have to have a quarterback who at times has to make throws. So I honestly know everybody thinks it's going to be Garantano to start, and that's probably what it is. But don't be surprised if it's Brian Maurer. I won't be if he actually gets the start.
I won't be either, and if it is Garantano, the first throw he makes that is questionable, pull that dude out. And I mean, that's where I'm at with him. So
that I think that's how it'll be.
Yeah, I think the leash is going to be very short if he's in there. So we'll see if the Vols are able to respond and at least hang in there a little while with Alabama. I don't see a way defensively to slow those guys down. Like, you know, you're asking people how to defend Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and Najee Harris, all these different weapons they have. I just don't really see a formula for it with anyone, and much less, you know, Tennessee's defense. I think it's okay. I don't think it's great. So they're going to have, I think, some issues in that regard.
I mean,
along with everybody else in the country.
I think in general against Alabama, like, can you keep the ball from going over your head? And the answer is probably still no, but at least start there. Like, make them earn something.
Okay at that this year. I mean, their problems, they haven't been beaten deep.
But they haven't played this either.
They haven't played this either. That's
they haven't played this. You know, but that to me is like, don't give them the 60, 70 yard touchdown, right? But the problem is they get that. They don't just get that going over the top. They get that when Waddle or Devontae Smith get the ball in their hands, yeah, too. And, you know, and my gosh, the Vols give up the slant. So try to work on that a little bit, too.
Real quickly, let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jonathan texts in, y'all said it earlier, I lost all hope in the season after they lost to Kentucky. But today I'm full of hope and that we have a chance. That's what Tennessee football does to you, baby.
Just like Big Orange Mac
sucks
told us.
You back in.
Every time
just
I try to get out.
Brings you back in. Oh, man.
Should be fun.
Munson, we love you.
Love you, Munson.
Appreciate you guys. I was going to close it out with, like, some sad stuff, but I was like, nah. Tribe Called Quest got me in this. That was my first music show ever. It was called Can I Kick It? And it
love
was
it.
A reason because of it, because of Tribe Called Quest. So I'm going to go out listening to Tribe Called Quest.
Love it.
No, I'll be missing you by Diddy with this shiny white suit dancing around and stuff. No.
Yeah, again, you're
no
not dead.
Bone thugs here.
And plus, yeah, I'm not dead. I'm still alive.
You're still alive. We can confirm. So that's good. Munson, we love you. Appreciate everything you've done here on the program. And we'll be back on Monday to talk about a big weekend in sports locally. Vols, Alabama, Titans, Steelers. We'll have all the reaction for you on Monday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on Robbie and Rextro. Darren, Donick, and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.